You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny, not sunny today, rainy Cocoa, Florida.
Well, we were due.
That's right. Yes. We are heard on AM 1510 WWCE, BC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right, on 1510wbc.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we also have our shows all archived, so you hit the on demand button and choose any Monday, and you can download the show from there. Of course, on our social media, we also post all of that with pictures and bios and ways to get in touch with our guests on our social media channels, which are Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and also on our website, which is sitamediainc.com. You can also search by name or topic on the website as well.
Yeah. Did we have a lot of downloads last week?
We had about 15,000, a little over 14,000 downloads.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, my co-host Ellen O'Neill is here. Ellen, I could not have this show without you. Thank you so much. And you did a phenomenal, fantastic job on Saturday at the Project Response fundraiser. You had everyone dancing. Not only are you a good friend and a trusted friend and a wonderful human being and my co-host, but you're an excellent singer and your band is awesome. And I just love you very much. And thank you for being who you are.
Thank you. We had a great time and everyone dressed up and it was so much fun. So much fun seeing our friends and being able to dance together. And, you know, it was especially fun to be able to play that Calypso music for you and see everybody get into it.
That's right.
It's awesome.
And Allie Tambor is here. She's a cheerleader of our show, and she comes by on Sundays to hang with us. And, of course, Danny's running our board. For folks who are tuning in today for the first time, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends gives anyone a platform who recognizes that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility. And we allow you to come with us in studio or call in on our show. And we've had people from all corners of the earth calling in from India, Indonesia, Vietnam, anywhere you think about people calling. And they talk about what we feel is our inherent responsibility to leave the world a better place than we found it for our grandchildren and our children. And so we speak about things like healthcare, clean air, clean water, writing a book, reading a book, maybe wanting to write a book. Maybe you want to talk about financial literacy. If you want to talk about voting, if you want to run for office, whatever it is that your little heart desires, we give you a platform on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Right.
And today's no different, Ellen. You know, I went to the big Bokaska fundraiser on Friday night to support the Brevard Caribbean Association. And I sat next to Mr. Stan Brouard. And Stan is a USAF veteran and owner of KIT People LLC, KIT. You like that? Yeah. And he's here to talk to us about Medicare. So many people are focused right now on their birthday. It's coming up. They're going to be 65. They want to know what they can, how they can get Medicare. They want to know the different parts of Medicare. A lot of people get ill. They're hospitalized. They have to go to a long-term care facility. They need assistance at home. And then, lo and behold, they realize they did not sign up with the right agent or the right person for Medicare. So Stan's going to talk with us first segment about Medicare, Medicaid, extra programs, and he's very compassionate, so we'll learn all about that. Our second segment, we'll speak with Mr. John Suarez. He's the executive director of a Center for Free Cuba. And he was on our show before talking about Latin America and programs. And he's been interviewed on CNN, MSNBC, different television stations. And he did testify in front of the U.S. Congress and the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights in Washington, D.C. So, yeah, he'll be calling in second segment. So, Mr. Stan Brouard, talk to us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in talking to us and educating us about Medicare.
Thank you very much for the platform, ladies and Danny. Nice to meet everyone. So today we are going to talk about Medicare.
Yes.
Because that is the most confusing, eventual point of life that we all, hopefully we all reach that point. But once you get there, you realize how little you know about Medicare. So I must, my disclaimer today is that I can't talk about anything specific in terms of plans. I can only talk in general terms. And that's per Medicare rules, which I would never violate.
So boomers, listen up.
That's right. That's right.
It's the complexities of insurance.
Yes.
It really is. And I say, and I mean this very seriously, that probably the most important part of going on Medicare, whether you are 65, older, younger, anywhere along the way, is to have a good, reliable, honest, and trustworthy agent. Because the plan itself, whichever way you go, the plan is not going to vary. But the advice, the guidance that you get from someone like me, there's nothing better. Because there are literally hundreds of plans to choose from in every county, in every zip code. And how is a layperson supposed to just sort of differentiate one from the other and make a choice?
Right. And everyone is concerned about the cost and will it fit into my budget?
Exactly. And as far as that goes, there are plans that cost. There are plans with $0 premiums. So it's all over the place. And where I come in is to provide guidance to make a decision that will be most beneficial to the person I'm talking to.
So one of the things before the show started, we were talking about specific people, you know, you're talking about specific instances, and you said, I check the zip code.
Yes.
So tell our listeners a little bit about why you check the zip code to see if you're Medicare eligible.
Because every plan starts with the person's residence. And of course, your residence is your zip code. Because those certain plans, just to be, give you an example, if you live in, let's say, what's the zip code up here? 329?
05.
05.
40.
Okay.
Whatever.
Danny, what's the zip code?
32922. There are plans that may be available in 32922 that are not available in Osceola County or in, you know, any other county. Even within Brevard, there are multiple plans to choose from. It goes, you know, depending on which company you... I will use the term carrier, and in the Medicare world, a carrier is an insurance company. So depending on the carrier that you choose, depending on the zip code that you're in, some plans will be available to you, others will not.
So my point of asking that question is because so many people in different counties are speaking about Medicare, and they're telling them, you're telling your friend, oh, well, I get this and I get that, right. And it might not be the same thing in your zip code. So please get off the social media, stay off the commercials, and call Mr. Stan Broussard to make sure that you can get the exact information so you're not chasing things that are not true for you.
So what is the enrollment process? And tell us about the deadlines, because people who are not paying attention, they will miss the deadline and then they have to wait an entire year. Am I correct?
Not necessarily.
Okay, so let's talk about the deadlines and the enrollment.
There is, every year, there is what they call the annual election period, which runs from October 15th till December 7th of every year. And that's when one is allowed to enroll in different plans, make changes to your current plan. All of that happens between October 15th and December 7th. Now, obviously, people turn 65 all year long, so you can actually enroll in Medicare all year long. But that window from October to December is when you're allowed to make changes to your plan.
Right.
So that's the first thing.
And so, and your mission is to help to make this process as understandable and accessible as possible.
Correct.
And you run into a lot of people that they've lived on planet Earth for 65 years, but not once have they given thought to Medicare.
Because Medicare is one of those things. You don't
it's
think
complex.
About it until you need it.
Right. Because and so there are different parts, all the moving parts of Medicare. And
right.
as a nurse myself working in long-term care, I see the tears and the frustration from people. So talk to our listeners a little bit about the different types of Medicare. You have A, B, C, prescription
right.
drugs, and all that.
So Medicare, so I'm going to talk in terms of original Medicare.
Yeah, pretend
and
Ellen
Advantage.
Is here. Pretend Ellen is here to get Medicare.
I'm so close. I'm looking for my fake ID.
Yeah.
So there are two ways to have Medicare. Original Medicare, which is Part A, Part B, and Part D. That's original Medicare. A Medicare Advantage is a combination of A, B, and D. And of course, only in the Medicare world can you add A, B, and D and come up with C. So Medicare Advantage plans are Part C plans. The other is Original Medicare, which is made up of Part A, B, and D. Now, the challenge that people have with Original Medicare is that Medicare will pay 80% of the bill, leaving you with the other 20%. And there's no limit as to what that 20% could be. $1 million, whatever. So oftentimes what people do is they get a supplement to cover the 20% that Medicare doesn't cover. So at that point, you've got Medicare pays 80, the supplement pays the other 20, and you've got 100% coverage. And so very little cost out of pocket. There's an annual deductible that has to be met. But it's a one-time thing, one time a year, and then you're done. Now, that's original Medicare. The Advantage plans work differently. Advantage plans are administered by insurance companies as opposed to the federal government, which administers original Medicare. So the insurance companies basically have combined A, B, and D. Think of it as going to McDonald's. You can order a burger. You can order fries. You can order a Coke. Or you can get a meal deal. And the meal essentially includes all those things, but as a package. Versus being separate pieces. And so the Advantage plans don't have an 80-20. They have some deductibles. They have some copays. So it is something that truly one probably can't figure out on their own.
Yeah. And nowadays with the internet, and you see the elderly people, they already have a vision problem. They already have a hearing problem. And now you're giving them a big booklet this thick. To read and expect them to understand their drugs. So talk to us a little bit about that because, I mean, the booklet has all the information. No one is reading it.
Right.
But then someone goes to buy their prescription drugs and no fault of their own, they're not covered.
Well, again, in all plans have tiered prescriptions. So you can get a tier one. The prescriptions are tiered 1 through 5. So the tier ones and twos are usually the generics and typically... In most cases, no cost out of pocket. But once you get into a tier 3, 4, or 5, that's when it gets expensive. And so when you do enroll in a plan, you want to tell your agent which prescriptions you're taking, or better put, your agent should ask you what you're taking.
Which you do.
Which I do.
So you do an assessment.
I do an assessment.
Of your client.
Right. In order to come up
right.
with the best
so
plan.
What happens with your Medicare plans if you decide to move from the state of Florida, which we see a lot of people are moving to be near their kids,
right?
And they move to California or Oklahoma or North Carolina or whatever. What happens to your plan?
So, as I said before, everything's based on your zip code.
Oh, Ellen, you see that?
If you live in this zip code,
yeah.
If you move out of 32922 and go to California, New York, Tennessee, wherever, you're no longer in 32922. Therefore, you must get a new plan. It's that simple. If your zip code, if you're no longer residing in the zip code where you got your plan, you need a new plan.
Yeah. And I think it's very important at this time for people when you're switching jobs or you're thinking about resigning to make sure you have another job before you leave the one you have because our employment is tied to our healthcare.
That's correct.
And I don't know if I've told Ellen this before, but about 8 years ago, I quit a job on principle because I thought a certain nurse had done something that I didn't agree with. And I said, I'm leaving. I quit. And after 10 years, I quit that job. And my daughter called me from law school and she said, Mom, I just tried to get my prescription renewed. And it said denied in like 2 days. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what are you talking about? And she goes, Mom, what happened? Why don't we have health insurance? Because I was carrying the health insurance. I worked for health insurance. Right. And in that huff and a puff and not thinking things through, it cost my family dearly.
Right.
And then my husband was on a shot because he cannot take cholesterol medications by mouth. He had to take a shot. And that was affected as well. So with a lesson learned there for all our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and friends are listening to Mr. Stan Broad and myself, think twice before you quit. You have to have a backup plan, right?
Correct. Because literally the day you walk out the door of your business, where the day you walk out, your coverage ends.
And let me ask you, and how quick? There's no grace period. You quit, you resign, you're kicked out, you're thrown out. And I think, Stan, to be quite honest, I think this is why a lot of people stay sometimes in jobs that they don't like. I mean, sometimes I hear people on, you know, the cable news saying things that are completely false and ridiculous and no one is fact checking. And then I say that person has a mortgage, car payment, health insurance, and they're staying with the job and talking nonsense because they have that, right?
That's correct.
Because so talk to us, how important is it in the greatest country on earth that health insurance got to this point where we are really married to it?
Well, if you think about it, what is more important than your health?
Wealth. I've, health is your wealth.
Yeah, health is your wealth. Yeah, because I heard a quote recently that when you're healthy and when you're sick, the difference is that when you're healthy, you don't have any problems. You may have car problems, mortgage, but you don't have any other problem. You can have 100 different problems, but when you're sick, you only have one problem, and that's to get better.
Yeah.
Because the focus becomes all about that. The mortgage doesn't matter. The car doesn't matter. The food doesn't matter. When you're sick, that's all you think about. So that health insurance, you're absolutely right.
Right. So our seniors, they apply for Medicare. They get it. Then they pay the Part B. Now, there's a lot of people that want to age in place. And in order to age in place, you have to have coverage for maybe a bed, walker, all those things. What do you tell your clients when they want to age in place, but there's an additional cost to this as well?
There is some additional cost. And again, preemptively, I said, I can't get into specifics of plans.
Yes.
That is something that...
They have to find out.
Well, I'm sure at some point, I guess we're going to give out my phone number, I hope. Because, well, yes. No, because it literally is a question that I could answer, but I'm not allowed to answer in the format like this.
Right. And how does one know if to choose between a Medicare Advantage plan and a Medicare Supplement plan?
Okay. So that's part of the process of finding out lifestyle. So if someone tells me, oh, you know, I've got 4 kids all over the country, I visit them all year, I go back and forth, money is no object, I don't want to have any restrictions, I don't want to have to deal with a network, this doctor I can see, this doctor I can't see. If you fall into that category, then probably the better option for you is original Medicare with a supplement.
Right.
Because once you have an Advantage plan, then you do have to deal with networks and...
So you pay attention to the lifestyle.
I pay attention to the lifestyle,
right,
to recommend which way, Original or Advantage.
And are there any restrictions on providers and the services on some of their plans?
Absolutely.
These are questions that a potential Medicare recipient have to ask you.
Correct.
And Ellen will ask you in a minute for your website and your phone number. But talk to us about the restrictions.
The restrictions are that if you have, I'll just use the HMO versus PPO, for example. Most people have heard the terms. HMO, PPO, don't really know what it means, but they've heard the term. So an HMO pretty much says, this is your zip code. This is what they call your service area, geographically speaking, and you will get all of your care within that service area, doctors, hospitals, whatever. Okay. Now, if you have a PPO, you also have a network, but a PPO allows you to go outside of the network, whereas an HMO is pretty much as restrictive as you can get. An HMO is for somebody who, you know, you live here, you don't travel, you don't really go outside.
Kind of like my husband, who likes to stay in the house and the farm and doesn't like to fly. You know, he just loves the compound.
Well, there you go. For someone who's got that kind of lifestyle, an HMO would be fine. But if you are going to travel, you want to have some flexibility as to when you'll be able to get care. Now, I'm going to say this. Emergencies, no matter whether you have an HMO or a PPO, emergencies are always covered, whichever plan you have.
Yeah, say that loud for the people in the back of the room, because I hear that all the time. People say, oh, if you go on a vacation in the Bahamas and God forbid you try to scuba dive and something happened, you're not going to be covered. But that's considered an emergency?
Not in the Bahamas.
Oh, gee.
See that?
It depends on where you are.
The good thing we asked. So you have to buy insurance when you travel.
Yeah, that's the safest thing. If you're going to go on a cruise or go to a different country, because Medicare is an American product. So there is some coverage, and it's usually a case of you go, you pay for what you have
done. I like
the
way you said that. It's a product. It is a product. It's commercial.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, yes, if I'm going to travel for a week or a couple of weeks, yes, that traveler's insurance is the way to go.
So many people need your information. So where do we find you? Where is your website? How does people get a consultation with you? What does it cost?
Let's start at the end. The cost is absolutely zero. And I'm one of the few people who still makes house calls. You know, most agents nowadays, they want to get on the phone. You can talk to 20 people during the day. I still make house calls because there's nothing like sitting across from the person. You can call a toll-free number. You don't know who you're talking to. And typically, a toll-free number, you're going to talk to somebody who is what they call captive. So if you're talking to somebody who sells Ford vehicles, they're going to try and sell you a Ford. But if a BMW is what you need, they're still going to try and sell you a Ford. So from that point of view, start with me. Let me just give out my phone number. It's 407-724-5897. So 407-724-5897.
And the name of your company and
the
website?
The name of my company is called KIT People, LLC. And KIT is an acronym for Kindness, Integrity, and Trust.
I was just going to ask you how you came up with KIT.
Well, I came up with it because, again, being in the Medicare field for so many years, I see our seniors being treated with less than kind weight by kind, you know, it's just,
boy, that's a topic that we could talk on forever.
Yeah.
We all see that. I mean, we live in a society in some ways where it's a throwaway culture.
It is.
And it brings back a lot of memories back when I was a child in Trinidad and Tobago, that if you had an old car, that car would still be running because people took care of it. And you'd be like, oh my God, that thing is like a dinosaur, but it's running. Because the men on Saturdays would put the oil in there, they would sand it down, they would get rid of all the rust, they would paint it new. And the mentality was, don't throw things away. Yeah. Here, you see that the elderly, some of them, they're not looked upon as wise sages, which they are. Their experience counts, right?
That's right.
And you come from a culture similar to that. And you also speak other languages besides English, which is good for
French,
the seniors.
Yep.
Yeah, French. Hello, here Ali says, you want him to say something in French?
No, I was just saying something in Spanish or Italian. I mean, it's just bravo. You know, good for you. I mean, basically, I was just trying to be polite.
Right.
So, Mr. Stan, I have seen where some of our patients had difficulties accessing hearing tests, eyeglasses. What can you tell our listeners on Viewpoint with CDN Friends about additional insurance benefits to buy so that those things are covered as well?
So depending on whether you go with original Medicare or a Medicare Advantage plan. So the Advantage plans have some of those additional benefits, some of the dental, some vision benefits, some hearing aids. All of that is part of an Advantage plan. Not included in Original Medicare, but they can be bought separately if you have Original Medicare. But yes, some of those things are included with most Advantage plans.
Yeah. And I notice a lot of seniors, their plans offer gym memberships.
Yes.
And I always wonder, why is it when you go to the gym, everybody is elderly? Why can't we in this country offer gym membership to young people as well? Like, start the people from young, eating right, exercising, breathing, yoga, meditation. I always wonder why, because I heard somebody say the other day, "You praise the Lord, I turned 65, now I can get Medicare." And I said, well, it doesn't cover everything, you know. And she, of course, it doesn't.
Right.
You could be happy that you turned 65 and it's socialized medicine at this point, right? But there are other things to it. And how do we get that across to people that it doesn't stop with them taking it out of your Social Security?
Well, I don't know.
Because honestly, a lot of them end up in the emergency rooms,
sure,
and they think they're going to walk out of there and that 20% is paid for, and
no,
it's not.
No. No, not unless you have a supplement.
Right.
If you have a supplement, then you're better off.
And are there people that delay Medicare? Like they say, I'm 62, I'm healthy, I don't want to be bothered. You know, talk to us about those people. Can you do that legally, delay
it? Absolutely. So you can actually get Medicare at any age. You could be 22, 47, 50, whatever. So, but you have to qualify for Medicare if you're under 65. You have to have a qualifying disability, and you have to be disabled for 2 years. So after 24 months, on the 25th month of your disability, you then become Medicare eligible and you automatically get enrolled in a Medicare plan. So you can be any age under 65. Now, at 65, you talk about delaying. Let's say you've got a job. You're working. You have employer coverage. Well, you don't have to go on Medicare. You can just keep your employer coverage, thereby delaying your Medicare enrollment.
And what are the advantages to that?
Well, the advantages are that if you like your plan better than Medicare, or if you are on a spouse's coverage, and you can just keep that. What I often do is compare. So if you've got coverage through either through your employer or through a spouse, do the math. Which is more cost effective? Is it that you go on Medicare? In fact, quick little story. I have my old roommate from my Air Force days. I ran into him about 6 months ago. After 40 years, he happens to live in Melbourne. We were both from New Jersey in the Air Force. Huh. But anyway, so he had coverage through his wife at work. So we sat down, we did the math. It was costing him more to be on her plan than for him to go on his own Medicare plan. So guess what we did?
Yeah, switched him.
Absolutely.
And then she can drop him at work.
She can drop him at work.
And you could do that legally. You could
absolutely
drop somebody at any
absolutely
time. You could enroll or not, or take somebody off, right?
Correct.
So a lot of people, you know, when they see somebody to enroll them in a plan, or maybe, you know, you buy furniture from someone or whatever, after the initial contact, you don't see that person again, right? So what services do you offer after enrollment? Because, you know, oftentimes people get like, I know we had an insurance person that sold us life insurance. And then after that, you didn't see hide nor hair of him,
right?
So you offer more than that.
Yeah, I've got...
You're accessible.
I am accessible. That phone number that I gave out,
mm-hmm,
you can call me anytime, day or night. If you want to call me at 4 o'clock in the morning, it better be a really good joke. But you can call me with a good joke at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I see.
But essentially, I've got an entire back office that keeps in touch with the new member. Birthday cards, Christmas cards, you know, just a random call. How are you? Call and say, hey, have you gotten your flu shots this year? So we do all of that. So we do stay in touch. It's not just, you know, we enroll you and let you go.
Right. And all things are local sometimes, right? So talk to us a little bit about what understanding do you have about the Medicare policies locally? Do we have anyone locally that helps with policies as well?
It depends on who you are.
Again, it's the zip code.
Well, no, but there are certain things that, unless you are a licensed agent, some people, although they have the knowledge, they're not allowed to help you. For example, in order to enroll in to enroll in Medicare originally, you have to go through Social Security. So most people don't associate Social Security and Medicare. So you have to start at Social Security to end up at Medicare. So a Social Security person may know things, but they're not allowed to tell you.
Right. That's where you come in handy,
That's
Stan.
Where I come in.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, a lot of people, when you talk about Medicare, I mean, it means a lot of things, right? If I heard somebody say recently, if you don't grow old gracefully with disease, then you die young.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we, we have to tell people it is a privilege to grow old and collect Medicare.
It certainly
and
is.
Apply for Medicare.
Yep.
It is.
Yeah, because some people don't make it. You know, they don't get to that magic age of 65 or whatever to have the care that they often need and can get
right.
because they can't afford it.
And how do we avoid that big, thick booklet? How can we help people to stay aware of all the changes? Because when politicians change locally or in Washington, D.C., changes are coming down the pipe. What's the best way to stay ahead of all this or learn more about the changes?
The absolute easiest and best way is to call 407-724-5897. No, I say that kiddingly, but also seriously.
Yeah.
Because there is no way for a layperson to keep up. Because not only do things change, but they change every year. Plans change. Companies change. Zip codes change. All of that. And so to keep up with it, there is just no way.
I bet people walk into your office, Stan, or you go into their homes, and they're apprehensive. This is a big deal.
It is.
Because it signifies sort of the end of life is near. It signifies you're going to get something that you've been paying for all your life. But also that, there's a possibility you can slip and fall. There's a possibility something can happen. And all of us are going to be there at some point.
Right. And all the more reason why I still make house calls. Because, sure, you can enroll. You can go to Medicare.gov and enroll yourself. Good luck choosing from 1,100 plans.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So there's nothing like sitting across from the person. And I can't tell you how many meals I've gotten. People just want to feed me. They want me to come back.
You'll get curry chicken at Cedar's house.
Yeah. really quick, before you go off air, you also speak to groups or communities.
Yes.
And so if somebody wanted to contact you for that, they call the same phone number.
Same phone number. That phone number is with me at all times.
And you can speak to people in Creole, in French, English, whatever. So really quick, before we go off air, from U.S. Air Force to Medicare, What was that aha moment that you said, I found my purpose in life and this is it, after Air Force and all that?
I'm the youngest of nine. And of course, my older sisters, sort of as they reached Medicare, they turned to me and they would say, well, what do we do? And I didn't know. So I went and learned, got licensed, and I've been doing it ever since, because it's not just... You know, I take care of all my callers and all my members the same way that I take care of my sisters. And that's what drove me into it, because the information was so complex that they turned to me.
You were the smart brother that they singled out at all the functions and said, hey, I need help with this.
And right. the youngest.
Yeah.
Like to point out.
Yeah. The
youngest
baby.
Of nine.
He's a baby.
Youngest of nine.
We'll have to bring him back on again. So tell us the deadline one more time for people to sign up for Medicare and the supplement plans with you, and then we'll go to commercial.
The annual deadline is December 7th. Every year it runs from October 15th to December 7th. But I also have to say that it's not set in stone, because there are mitigating circumstances where you can go beyond December 7th. And of course, the following year, there's also some other exceptions, what they call special election periods and OEP versus AEP versus IEP. Those are all terms that nobody understands, but that I can very easily explain once I'm, you know, sitting down with
personalized
someone.
Personalized experience.
Exactly.
That's what.
So the message is the kit people put the care back in Medicare.
That's
so exactly. That you know exactly what's going on. Don't try and navigate this yourself, folks. Make sure you make that phone call and get in touch with Stan as soon as you can, or as soon as you're ready to make those decisions. We have to take a quick commercial break and listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back right after these messages with Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends. Thank you so much, Stan, for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville, Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in rainy Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere, Miss Ellen.
That's right. All over the World Wide Web, 1510 WWBC. Go.com. You can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we archive the shows as well under the date or any Monday. Each and every Monday, we archive the shows there. Of course, it's all on our social media under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and on our website, SitaMediaInc.com.
What a great first segment we had with Mr. Stan Broad. Everyone needs to learn about Medicare and all the components.
I'm not sure about your husband, but I even the doctors get frustrated with Medicare.
Yeah,
so it's
does.
Everybody does. So it's great to have this source of information.
Well, people need to get paid for their services.
Yes.
And the only way the medical professionals get paid for healthcare is by having plans.
Right.
And that's how it goes. So our second segment is with our good friend, Mr. John Suarez. And I told John that we had renewed our contract, so to speak, to be on the air for another year. And that we would like to have him back on, and he agreed. And then Danny told us it's going to be two more years, and he's putting up his hand there, two more years. Mr. John Suarez is the executive director of Center for a Free Cuba, and he's on the phone calling in from Virginia, and we're going to let him talk to our listeners and to us a little bit about all the stuff he's done, like testifying before the U.S. Congress, and all the good stuff. So, Mr. Suarez, thank you so much for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Well, thank you for the invitation, Sita. It's an honor to be with you.
So bring us up to speed on what's happening right now, because, you know, politically in that region and what happens in Washington, D.C., we know there's a lot of stuff going on with Cuba. Tell us what's going on. I mean, people want to know, can tourists still go over there? Where are the tourism dollars going? Is it helping prop up the Cuban government, or is it helping the people? Talk to us a little bit about, since the last time you were here, what's going on.
Well, I think in terms of the situation in Cuba, you really have to look at, one, there are over 1,085 identified political prisoners today in Cuba. The situation in the prisons are terrible. The last visit of the International Committee of the Red Cross to Cuba's prisons to directly examine conditions there was in 1989. By comparison, the prison in the U.S. Guantanamo Naval Base has had over 100 visits of the International Committee of the Red Cross. That's why they've gotten bad press, because they've been able to report on the conditions. The Cuban government does not even allow the ICRC in, We know that the conditions are terrible because prisoners have died and their families have courageously spoken out because of the inhumane conditions. But secondly, in terms of people traveling to the island, there are still tourists going to Cuba. I would argue that it's madness for the following reasons. One, the Cuban regime has not been investing in the infrastructure. So there have been repeated nationwide blackouts over the last couple of years, five of them. And what I mean nationwide is everything is out for a prolonged period of time throughout the entire island. Now, there are frequent outages that run 5, 6, 10, 12, 14 hours all across the island at different points in time, but it's a daily occurrence. In addition to that, on October 3rd, it was reported in the Miami Herald, there's been outbreaks of illness. And in this case, it's something called chikungunya. And not only is it now spread throughout Cuba, but because of all the travelers from the United States, it's also been an outbreak in areas of Florida. 15 cases this year, and people who are traveling from the island where the disease is endemic. So that's one of the problems with the tourism, is that there's stuff that's brought back which can affect other folks.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard of that by mosquito.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have the chikungunya, you have dengue, which is another big issue that they have there. So, I mean, those have been things I've been hearing about over the last few months. Tourism, in terms of flights, there's been a reduction in the overall number. And the administration has been tightening sanctions, including to hotels and businesses affiliated with the Cuban military, which dominates the tourist industry. So they have been making it more difficult and also stricter in terms of folks traveling to the island.
Right. Yeah, because I was reading online that a lot of the people that work in the hotel industry or the airline industry in Cuba, that money that the tourists pay for the hotel room or for the airline, it does not go to the people. It goes to most of it goes to the government.
To the military.
Yes.
There was a big story that came out in August. Nora Gomez Torres, the Miami Herald, broke it. Leaked documents revealed that GAESA, which is the Cuban military conglomerate that oversees Cuba's tourism industry, is sitting on cash reserves of $18 billion. And that puts it in the same framework as Costa Rica, Panama, and Uruguay.
Well, listen.
Where in those cases, those cash reserves actually help their people, and you can see the difference in extreme poverty
rates. But not in Cuba. Yeah.
In those countries like Uruguay, it's, I think, extreme poverty is at 0.2, Panama is 1.2, Cuba is around 89%.
Wow.
So you have a military elite living very well. They use this discourse to blame the poverty on the United States and sanctions. But the reality is, and Cubans inside the island know that what's causing the poverty is the dictatorship. And if you speak out, there's prison or worse.
So, Mr. Suarez, you know, like here in the United States, I know a lot of us, self included, and of course, a lot of people in the business community, like Ellen and I, we do a lot of stuff online. The internet is a luxury in Cuba. With all that money that the military have, you would think the island is not that large, right? That they could have free internet and Wi-Fi for everyone. I mean, it is, after all, a Christian-dominated country where we all talk about being our brothers and sisters keepers in thoughts, words, and action. But it always boggles the mind why people pick up a religious textbook and read about what we should be doing for humanity, but really and truly, they don't. Where is that disconnect that we are supposed to be we're supposed to care about humanity, but yet still in a country dominated by Christianity and how Jesus lived and all that, they don't do that for their people. I mean, a simple thing like internet, My goodness, we would all be going crazy without our social media and the way we connect.
Well, first off, it's not a Christian country. Until 1992, it was an atheist country. Since 1992, in theory, they tolerate religion. But, in fact, a report just came out today from Christian Solidarity Worldwide that discusses the situation of freedom of religion or belief in Cuba. And it describes how religion is systematically persecuted in Cuba, not only on the street, but also if you're a prisoner, you're also denied access to religious text and counsel. And they use religion to punish. They go after somebody who's a believer. They'll deny them employment opportunities because they're a Christian. The ideal in Cuba is a communist ideal. It is the guiding force in society. It is the only legal political party in Cuba.
Now, yeah, it makes no sense because so many people that you meet in Miami or different places that came from Cuba, they predominantly will say, I'm a Christian, and I was a Christian. You're shaking your head, Ali,
yeah,
before. So I'm glad you cleared that up, because not just there, but a lot of the Latin American countries, even where I was born and raised in Trinidad and Tobago, it was founded, you know, by the British and different versions of the Bible and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder what happened to our shared collective human spirit in those islands and those countries, that there's so many political prisoners, there's so much poverty, and there's so much divide between the rich and the poor. It's almost like there's no middle class.
Well, I mean, in the case of Cuba, is that they set up a communist dictatorship. Fidel Castro in 1959 declared that he had ended racism. And if any black person said that racism still existed, they were a counter-revolutionary and locked up in prison. So you had black nationalists that lived in Cuba in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s forced into exile after the revolution in the 1960s, or rot in prison. So there's a complete lack of freedom of expression, freedom of speech. There was a wholesale war on religion. Priests and religious figures were taken away at gunpoint and put on a ship out of the country. Others were put into labor camps in the 1960s. And Christmas was outlawed in Cuba from 1969 until 1998. And then Pope John Paul II negotiated the return of Christmas in 98. And it now exists in the island. But again, it's something that's viewed with suspicion by the authorities.
Yeah. And when people visit Cuba and they come back, they always, well, I know a friend of mine actually from Canada, Toronto, said that Cuba has one of the world's highest literacy rates. Is that true? And how so, considering how the island is run?
Well, I mean, Cuba had one of the world's highest literacy rates for the revolution. In 1959, it was tops in Latin America. And they used it in the early years of the revolution. They had a propaganda campaign claiming that they were generating full literacy, and they also tried to downplay the conditions pre-revolution. But what we have seen in recent years from folks coming from the island is that the levels of education have not been maintained post-1990 with the crisis of having a collapse in Soviet subsidies. So there aren't teachers that are adequately paid. The schools are in disrepair. They have a lack of supplies. But do they try to put on a show and they have the schools for the children of the elites, which is a whole different story? And they know when tourists are traveling how to do the Potemkin village experience, where they build up and pump up the image of the regime for visitors. That does go on, but the reality is very different.
Right. And if you ask Cubans a simple question, do you want to be free, something that we all take for granted, they would say yes. So how can we help the people of Cuba, and how can we help promote the work you are doing, Mr. Suarez?
Sure. One thing is visit websites like Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch. read their sections on Cuba. We have, as I said, over 1,000 political prisoners today in Cuba. Many of them are human rights defenders that have decades-long careers in terms of advocating for human rights, and that's why they're in prison. So, you know, if somebody's interested, we'd be more than happy to identify a specific political prisoner that they can campaign on their behalf. One case that comes to mind is a father and daughter, Felix Navarro, who is a mathematics teacher at one point, and his daughter became a human rights activist when he was jailed back in 2003. He spent nearly 9 years in prison. He got out, returned to his activism. His daughter became a lady in white. So it's this group of women campaigning for the release of their loved ones. Well, they were both arrested in July of 2021. What were they doing? They went to the police station to inquire about the plight of people that were jailed for taking part in peaceful protests. And because they inquired about it, they're serving long prison sentences today. They've both been recognized prisoners of conscience by Amnesty International. Those are just two of the over 1,000 cases that are ongoing today. And I'd be happy to share that with that information, to write the Cuban government, to ask for their release, to reach out to the International Committee of the Red Cross to encourage them to ask the Cuban government for their ability to return to the island. The way to do that is you can reach me at John, J-O-H-N, period, S-U-A-R-E-Z, at cubacenter.org. And I'll be happy to entertain any requests.
You know, and one of the, as I prepared for the show, you know, I read about the Cuban music, which is a blend of Africa and Spain. And it is, I mean, it seems as though the people, that's all they have left at some point, is you'll go through the villages and they would all be dancing. Some people still have the old transistor radios and they still have the old classic cars in Cuba. Talk to us a little bit about the infectious blend of the African drums and Spanish guitar in the beautiful Caribbean island of Cuba.
Well, I mean, the Cuban character is a blending of the African, the Spanish, the Chinese, and that goes back centuries. And also a bit of the indigenous is also found there, the Taino. So you find that in the music. And I think one thing to point out that's of great importance, I think, is this month, October 21st, will be the centenary of the birth of Celia Cruz, who was the queen of salsa in Cuba, beloved figure in the Cuban diaspora, and someone who, with the group of all-stars in the 1960s, early 70s, toured Africa playing Cuban music and salsa. And she is someone that, because she wouldn't bend the knee to Fidel Castro, forced into exile when her mother became ill, they wouldn't let her visit her mother when her mother died, they wouldn't let her go to the funeral, and her music is banned inside of the island to the present day from all the airwaves. But people still remember her, and her music is, you know, underground, shared still throughout the island.
In some of the Latin American countries, and of course, when I return to Trinidad on visits and stuff, and I speak with people who are Cuban descent living in Trinidad, they always boast about Cuba having free health care. Is that something that they just talk about, or is it something that the government is propaganda?
It is propaganda. There was a period of time in the 1970s, I'd say between the 60s and the 80s, where there was free health care. Now, again, what existed prior to 1959? You did have in Cuba a very developed health care sector. The hospitals that you see weren't built during the revolution. They were built before the revolution. You had, before the revolution, an HMO-style system. You also had a system that looked out for the poor. And you also had a private sector. They eliminated the private sector. They brought it all under the government. And since 1989, 1990, formally, it's government-controlled, but there are no supplies, no medicines, if you want to get attention, you have to pay the doctors under the table because they're desperate. The doctors are moonlighting as taxi drivers to try to get by. Mm. So there's not free healthcare per se. You see dilapidated hospitals that are filthy. There's a two-tiered system. Again, if you're a multimillionaire coming from abroad, a member of the military, there is a top tier of care. But if you're the average person, the care is terrible. And we see the cases of children with aggravated conditions having to request humanitarian visas to leave Cuba to get health care abroad.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of us from that part of the world, we're watching the relationship with China and all the other countries in Latin America. One would ask, does China do more business with Cuba or they don't?
That's a complicated question. Cuba's had a relationship with China with its ups and downs. I'd say its first up was in 1960 when you had a high-level delegation led by Che Guevara that met with Mao Zedong, and they plotted out the conquest of the Americas to spread their communist model. But in the 60s, there was something called the Sino-Soviet split, and relations with Cuba and China cooled off because Cuba sided with the Russians. But then when Mr. Gorbachev came into power in 1985 and started talking about glasnost and perestroika, the Castro brothers began censoring Soviet publications. And when relations between China and the United States worsened temporarily after the Tiananmen Square massacre, Cuba re-engaged with China, supported the Tiananmen Square massacre, and then started having biotech ventures with China in mainland China. And in 92, they opened up, they began to open up spy bases, Chinese spy bases in Cuba.
Wow.
Now, the Chinese,
you know, we have to have you back for, you're fascinating. It's almost as if you have a Wikipedia in your head. You just know so much. And we really appreciate it. But really quick, before we have less, just 2 minutes left on air, I wanted to ask you if you could give us again your website and how someone can contact you so that we can get involved in the Free Cuba movement as well.
Sure. The website is www.cubacenter.org. That's CubaCenter.org. And my email is john.suarez@cubacenter.org.
Yeah, and we have 1 minute left. You know, you're it's fascinating to read all the stuff. And you had mentioned that before Ukraine, thousands of Cuban soldiers committed war crimes in Ethiopia. And of course, we're watching our world right now. We're watching what's happening in the Middle East and Yemen and different places. But you're saying that we ought to go back in history and look at what Cuba did in those countries as well.
Yes. Fidel and Raul Castro were very close friends with Mengistu Haile Mariam, the dictator of Ethiopia, who was found guilty of genocide and war crimes. And thousands, 17,000 Cuban troops were there to back him up and carry out atrocities against farmers in Ethiopia, poisoning water wells, killing cattle, encouraging the famine that killed a million people.
You know, Mr. Suarez, it is our hope here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends that all of us collectively on God's magnificent planet try to leave the earth a better place than we found it. And we all agree that people should be free in their countries to live and work and worship and have the freedom of speech and religion. And we really appreciate you calling in and taking the time to educate our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I'll give you the last 30 seconds. Pretend you just met somebody in an elevator and take it away why we should support the Free Cuba movement.
There's a movement in Cuba that is seeking freedom and democracy and human rights. They are battling a dictatorship that not only has oppressed the Cuban people, but because of the lack of solidarity abroad, has succeeded in spreading their model to Venezuela and Nicaragua, condemning millions more to lives of misery. And I believe that with your help, with your assistance, first and foremost, to help the over 1,000 political prisoners in Cuba and to inform the international community about the reality of life on the island, that by freeing Cuba, you will also be removing the secret police torturing Venezuelans today in Caracas, in Nicaraguans and Managua, and create a domino chain of freedom.